Good morning, it's me. Good to be with you this Saturday morning. What I want you to do is just sit back and relax, and let's just discuss a few points for a moment. I think it goes without saying that all of us would like to enjoy radiant health. We want to be strong. I think one very simple definition of health is if you have the ability to do whatever you want. If you can mow the grass, if you can go to the grocery store, if you can actually get in and out of a car. What about getting out of a chair? How about going to the bathroom? And it's just it's a tremendous struggle to lift yourself from the toilet, or you feel like you're losing your balance and you fall easily. Well, I've been playing with this idea for probably several weeks right now in my own mind, and every time I show up here at the radio station, I think I'm going to talk about it, but I decide, no, Roy, you don't know enough about this. Maybe you should put some more study into it. And so I've kind of played with this here and there. But what I want to do with you is just kind of deliver some basic information, and maybe you can extract something good from what I'm going to say this morning. As I drove in here this morning, I listened to a lecture from a female medical doctor. I do not remember her name. I know that she had graying hair. She probably looked like she was 65. She was actually quite humorous in her lecture style, which I always find amusing. I don't know if you know this, but some people do not have a sense of humor. The idea of laughter is just repulsive to them. They think it's offensive. I, on the other hand, do not feel that way. My threshold for humor is actually very low. Usually in the office, by Thursday or Friday, I will just about laugh at anything anybody says. It doesn't take much for me. And probably the things that I find funny, you may not find hilarious. But, you know, even the Bible says that laughter worketh good like a medicine. But I listened to her talk, and this was my topic of study, which, you know, may be one small side point. I do think it is a very good plan if you find a way to use some of your free time or your time in transit, driving to and fro to work or wherever you're going, if it's just used in study. You know, you have a whole bunch of options here. If you use your free and this is based on a survey that I read this last week that said the average American spends 6 hours a day watching television. I know that some of that's educational, and some of that's fun, and probably very relaxing and interesting. But 6 hours? 6 hours a day? And so, some of the greatest people that have ever lived in history, their relaxation, their way to rejuvenate was actually pursuing things such as studying something that would improve their skill set or that they could use to develop themselves. And so I find that it serves me very, very well if I study something that I actually enjoy anyway, which God's creation is so fascinating. Did y'all know that I have a degree in human biology? I'm not saying that to brag, but I have a Bachelor of Science degree in human biology. So if you want to hear about health, you're talking to the human biologist right here. I'm sort of joking, but that is true. Anyway, isn't biology the study of life? Well, maybe it would behoove you to study life if you want to get ahead of the curve. I can tell you this, if you do not spend some energy trying to improve your health, well, there's no such thing as sitting on the fence on this deal here, folks. That's like somebody told me this week, either you're moving toward God or you're not moving toward God. No such thing as coasting. I mean, wasn't it said of the Church of Laodicea that I spew you out because you're neither hot nor cold? Anyway, the lecture that I heard from the lady this morning, I picked up on a very interesting point. Well, interesting to me. She said that, and this to me is very, very intriguing because you've got to develop the mindset. You've just got to throw this garbage away, that there's nothing you can do to help yourself. I hear that all the time. It's almost like robots are repeating the same phrase over and over again. Why, there's nothing you can do about it. This is totally genetic. There's no factors under your control. Diet has nothing to do with it. And then on top of that, they'll laugh at you. If you were to try to take a nutritional supplement for the purpose of strengthening, for example, your lungs. Well, there was one particular study this female doctor quoted from Pakistan, or do you call it Pakistan? She said that one of the greatest, and this kind of got my attention because I don't know if you know this, but I think there's over 2 billion people in the world that actively have TB or tuberculosis. If I was going to pick one particular organism to infect a human species with that would just totally suppress the immune system and beat them down and make them weak and sick, well, tuberculosis could be that organism. And if 2 billion people on the planet have it, then I would say this is a pretty big deal. Now, I was talking to Jimmy about this earlier, and we discussed the idea that where the soil, the dirt, has a pH that's acidic, like a pH of around 5, that's where you get the most growth of TB. And, of course, what farmers used to do, and I think this is information from across the pond, from Great Britain, farmers used to spend money to have seaweed or sea moss delivered to them because, you know, the ocean is like full of all the minerals and nutrients that we need. It's like it's the bank of minerals. So if you want to make a withdrawal and get some minerals, the ocean is a place to go to. That's one of the reasons why I like seafood. I'm sure there are many people listening right now that are cooking fresh Maine lobster as we speak. Or maybe if you live in Jacksonville, it'd be snow crab legs, something like that. And so when you eat seafood, you usually get a substance that's chock full of minerals. I don't know if you know this or not, but that's what your body's made of. It is made of minerals. Didn't the Lord tell Adam that when he was going to leave the earth, that he would return to the dust from whence he was made? Well, it all comes down to minerals. And so I want you to consider that the best chemical reactions, the best that you're ever going to be, is when you have water, an adequate amount of water, and you have an adequate amount of minerals. Good luck trying to be healthy and strong while you're dehydrated. It's not going to happen. If you wake up in the morning and you go to the bathroom and you pass your urine and it smells horrible, you might want to consider that one distinct possibility is you're underhydrated. I know, I hear it all day long. I don't like that stuff. I only like Coca-Cola. I've had people literally tell me, Dr. Morgan, I've done everything I can to control my diabetes. I can't get my blood sugar below 350. It's impossible. Doctors haven't been able to help me. I've tried everything known to man, and I can't get my blood sugar down below 350. And I think, or I ask them, so what do you drink throughout the day? And when they say, well, I do like Coca-Cola quite a bit, and I do like my Dr. Peppers, I'm thinking, are you for real? You have got to be kidding me. You notice how sometimes there's that cognitive dissonance where they just can't quite get a grasp on a reality that drinking soft drinks really is related to the elevated blood sugar and why they feel so bad. Well, duh. And so what farmers used to do is they would purchase seaweed and they would spread it on their pastures as a way of trying to remineralize. So I find this very interesting that tuberculosis tends to grow its very, very best in the soil, thus infecting cows and rabbits and badgers and probably ground squirrels, which I think ground squirrels probably deserve to die. Prairie dogs do for sure. Isn't that a harsh stance for me to take? Yeah, well, if you want to go take your rifle and shoot a prairie dog today, that doesn't hurt my feelings. I realize that those things are like major carriers of the bubonic plague. I don't know about you, but society as a whole, the world, you can only be so stressed for so long before there's a major outbreak of some next pandemic. But I want you to consider a thought here. Not every pandemic has to be viral in nature. There are some that are bacterial. Have you ever heard of the bubonic plague? What did they do in biblical times if a person was sick? If somebody showed themselves to the high priest and they had a skin lesion and it was called leprosy, the high priest sent them outside the camp. It used to be that people had sense, and if they were sick, they would stay home. They would not go out in public. Today, that no longer holds true. If you're hacking and coughing and there's green stuff coming out of your nose and your eyes are bloodshot and you have a fever, you still think it's probably a pretty good idea to go to the store and buy a box of cigarettes. I was only joking with the cashier yesterday, but I said, I need 2 boxes of Camels, please. And she looked at me and said, since when did you start smoking? I said, just now. And you know I'm just joking. But I couldn't believe the price. If you want to purchase an unfiltered pack of Camel cigarettes, that is $9.60 at the biggest store in Jacksonville. $9.60. I told her, and you've heard me say this before, I said, I've probably purchased more Camel cigarettes than any other 4 or 5-year-old in Texas. That's because I thought it was great fun at the time. You know, when you're a kid and you take 3/4 or 4/4 and go into the pit grill and put them in the slot of the machine and then pull it out. Man, that was like a big reward. And your dad said, good job, son. Thanks for the cigarettes. But you know, when you're 4 years old and everybody smokes, you just think it's normal, right? Of course. Well, the lady researcher this morning, and please forgive me for not remembering her name, but she said one of the greatest predictors, if a person's going to develop tuberculosis, which I'm just telling you, if you want to destroy your health, if you want to wreck your body, then a chronic infection would be one of the greatest ways of doing that. I am never ceased to amazed how a person has a chronic infection, but they just don't connect the dots of green stuff coming out of their nose and their ears, coughing up discolored phlegm, blood coming out, a chronic cough from hell that does not go away, and they think they are normal. I just don't get that. Of course, what I want them to say in my fantasy world is, Dr. Morgan, I think I've got some room for improvement. What is our game plan to improve the health of my lungs? That's what I want to hear, but you know what? That's not going to happen. I need to let go of my fantasies that people are going to come to terms with they're sick. No, what I have to do as a physician is I have to convince them that they're sick sometimes. And it can be simple things like, when's the last time you've gone to the grocery store? Well, Dr. Morgan, I feel so bad I can't get off the couch or I can't get out of bed. I can barely walk across the floor to the bathroom before I collapse on the couch, where I watch Fox News all day long. Well, probably a minimum of 6 hours. The researcher said this: 10 times lower tuberculosis when people had vitamin A. I don't know if you know this or not, and sometimes vitamin A is not given the credit it deserves, but that's a fat-soluble vitamin. As a matter of fact, I think it was the very first fat-soluble vitamin that was ever discovered or recognized. And guess what year it was recognized? Would you think that was in the year 2013 or 2012? Oh, no, no, no. This was identified and recognized back in 1913, so we're talking well over 100 years old. But it's like anything else. Even though the research is phenomenal, even though the information on vitamin A is just super duper fabulous. If you do not know about it, if you have not studied it, if it hasn't been taught in school, or hadn't been talked about at the house or at home, you may not even think about this if you're a sick person. Well, let me read this to you right here. I picked up a book off my shelf this morning. I have just a few books. You didn't know that, did you? It's written by Michael T. Murray, ND. It's called The Encyclopedia of Nutritional Supplements. Well, I don't know that I'm really trying to focus on the idea of a nutritional supplement, but you may want to consider what I'm saying right here. Where did I find this? Let me cover this first right here. One of the very first reasons why they called vitamin A is because it's known as the anti-infective vitamin. So maybe the word anti-infective, if I can use that as one word, the first letter is A. So they said, hey, we're going to call this vitamin A because it's anti-infective. Do you know what that means to you? If you do not have enough vitamin A, that means your immune system is exposed. It walks into infection definitely weakened, cannot respond in a robust manner. And so what that means for you is the tissues of your lungs or your sinuses, they are so vulnerable to infection, you cannot resist. So this female researcher said, when people in Pakistan had good amounts of vitamin A, they had 10 times greater immunity against developing tuberculosis. Hey, I can't make that stuff up. That is just absolutely incredible. What would it be like if you were 10 times stronger or 10 times richer or 10 times smarter than the average person? Well, I think that might be like a noticeable, perceptible difference, don't you think? All right. And this comes from Dr. Michael Murray's book, Encyclopedia of Nutritional Supplements. Actually, I think there's dust on the top of this. Maybe I should blow it off anyway. Page number 24. And of course, I like it because the very first vitamin is vitamin A. And I want you to sear it into your brain right now. Vitamin A is the anti-infective vitamin. I don't care what you're telling me you're dealing with. Telling me you got a chronic viral load, you got a bacterial infection, you got a parasite, you're dealing with candida or fungus. You need vitamin A. How does your body rise to the occasion and actually heal if it's lacking the very nutrient that's required for your immune system to respond? There's nobody that's listening to me this morning that believes that you can have 0% water in your body and be healthy. No. Actually, that's called beef jerky. Actually, beef jerky has more water than that. Anyway, immune system abnormalities associated with a vitamin A deficiency include impaired ability to mount an effective antibody response. Let me talk about that just for a second. Your immune system, created by God, is designed to generate antibodies against infection. And so let me give you a little example here. Back in the early 1950s, a question was asked, what is the average duration of the common cold? And back in the 1950s, it was about 3 days. That means, if you're watching Leave It to Beaver, actually, I don't know if Leave It to Beaver was in the 1950s. Forgive me for not knowing that. I know who would know that. Her name is Terry. Anyway. So if the beeve got a cold, he was going to be down for about 3 days, and then it resolves. It's a done deal. He's back to his old self again. Well, now, in the year 2020, I see this all the time. I have people tell me, hey, Dr. Morgan, I've had this cold for 3 weeks now. I'm sick of it. I'm thinking to myself, I would be too. So today, it is not uncommon for a person to have lingering effects of a cold that just hang on for 3 weeks. You tell me, what's the difference between 1951 and 2020? Well, there is a difference because colds are lasting longer. So my point is, any time you become sick and you can't knock it, I'm not saying it keeps you from going to work or living your life, but you just don't feel right. You feel run down. You're exhausted. So what I want you to think of is, if you have something for longer than 7 days, then this is medical proof that your body is not able to generate enough antibodies. Does that make sense? Okay. So if you get a cold and it lasts for 3 weeks, you might want to take notice. You may want to wake up here and decide, what am I going to do to help myself? And so I just read that to you from Dr. Murray's book. What is associated with a vitamin A deficiency? It's the impaired ability to mount effective antibody response. Now here's number two. I'm not so sure this is not more important than the first one, but it's one and the same. You get decreased levels of helper T cells. Oh. Well, what does a helper T cell do, Dr. Morgan? Well, I'm glad you asked. Have you ever heard of rheumatoid arthritis? Have you ever heard of lupus, Sjogren syndrome, Hashimoto's, vitiligo, eczema, psoriasis, scleroderma? Let me see, what's another autoimmune disease I can come up with? That's probably plenty right there. Oh, I've decided to add one. Multiple sclerosis. If you don't have adequate production of T helper cells, this is one of the things that tells your immune system, quit attacking us. And that's probably the most basic, simple definition of an autoimmune disease. When your body starts attacking you, that ain't good. Did you know that autoimmune diseases are probably the fastest growing group of diseases worldwide? Oh, yeah. Well, if you don't have adequate amounts of vitamin A, you know, I know I'm going backwards here. I digress. I ask people all the time, what vegetables do you eat? Or what do you eat? And when they tell me they only like chicken breast and Doritos, I'm thinking they might be just a little low in vitamin A. Because they're not eating sweet potatoes. Anyway, I'm fixing to jump to that real quick. Now listen to this right here. So the first one is, your immune system can't generate antibodies. Then you get decreased level of helper T cells. The word T obviously is just an abbreviation for thymus. I don't know if you knew this or not, but your thymus gland is the largest gland within your immune system. And you got to have that if you want to have what's called rejuvenation or healing. I don't know that many people have asked me, but I can tell you what I do. I'm taking a little bit of thymus extract every day to make sure that I can stay as strong as possible. Currently, I think I've had 4 patients that have had coronavirus or COVID-19. Yes, I am not kissing them on the lips with a holy kiss, as the custom was back in the Apostle Peter's time. Or actually, maybe here recently people greet each other with a holy kiss. I just don't remember that. Maybe it was Aunt Betty that was always pinching my cheeks and kissing me. Anyway, if you're low in vitamin A, you're going to start having alterations in the mucosal linings of the respiratory and gastrointestinal tract. Oh my goodness, that's a big topic right there. Do you want your lungs being vulnerable to infection? Of course you don't. That's a rhetorical, dumb question. You want to have leaky gut syndrome? No, absolutely not. Well, you're going to be, when you're vitamin A deficient, you are going to be so much more susceptible to infectious diseases and have a higher mortality rate. That's definitely been true when it comes to AIDS. But that study that she referred to from Pakistan, when you had adequate vitamin A, 10 times less the tuberculosis. Now let me see if I can hammer this point away. This is so interesting to me. They start looking at tissue concentrations of vitamin A in different organs, and I'm not going to go through each one of them, but would you just care to guess which the 2 organs in the human body contain the most vitamin A? It is the adrenal glands and the liver. Two critical systems you cannot live without. I don't know if you knew this or not, but as a general rule, your immune system can only respond to an infection or a cancer as well as the adrenal glands are working. So if you've got cancer or you've got some type of chronic infection, well, it may behoove you to start going, I wonder if my adrenal glands are doing their job. So I'm looking at all these organs, from the thyroid to the lung to the spleen, pancreas. It even mentions gonads here. Anyway, enough of that. It's the adrenal glands and the liver, baby. That's where this stuff is found. So what would be a good source of vitamin A? Well, eating liver would be a source. It's huge. Now, when they measure calf liver, that is hands down one of the biggest sources of vitamin A of all time. But you know what has twice as much vitamin A as calf liver? Beef liver. That means from a adult cow. So evidently the adult's got the advantage in that it can concentrate and accumulate more vitamin A. Now, this is going to blow your mind. Well, I'm sorry. Just because it blows my mind doesn't mean it'll blow your mind, but I think this is a big deal right here. So I went down the list, and I looked up, what are the highest sources of vitamin A? So you remember what I started off with. Vitamin A is the anti-infective vitamin. You want to be free from infection? Vitamin A. Okay? Not a guarantee, because there's many factors. Beef liver, 43,900 international units per 100 gram serving. That's 3.5 ounces. I know there's probably people that are fixing to call and say, guess what we're having for breakfast right now, Dr. Morgan? We're having calf liver. I'm going to say, way to go. Okay, just immediately, the next two, oh my goodness, they got my attention big time because I didn't know this. You know what? You can learn something new every day. Well, I think I've learned something new this morning. Do you know what is at the top of the list from the plant kingdom? It's chili peppers. Oh my goodness. I remember years ago, there was a study in the British Medical Journal concerning the flu. And they came up with some brilliant experiment to see what would happen. And here's how it went. They took a large group of people and they said, okay, here's what we want you to do. When you start to feel like you're coming down with the flu, you feel off, you're not feeling so good, you're kind of clammy, you got chills, the fever's coming on, you're achy all over your body, you're sick in your stomach, and you feel like you could vomit, well, okay, but you're getting the flu. And the only thing they asked them to do was, would you be willing to go eat a very, very spicy meal the very, very moment you feel like you're starting to feel a little bit off, like, hey, maybe I'm coming down with the flu? Do you know what the success rate was at turning that around where it didn't develop into a full-blown case of the flu? It was only 87% effective. Folks, you might as well say 100% effective. That's a huge number. You cannot come up with a number 87% effective at completely curing the influenza or the flu. I don't know, 87%, that might be a little bit better than 11% effective like a flu vaccine might have been last year, or 8% effective. Do you hear that in the news? No. Well, you hear it from me. But chili peppers contain 21,600 IUs of vitamin A, but then again, you will notice that chili peppers are brilliant red, aren't they? Oh, my word. Maybe I need to start doing population studies of the city of Jacksonville and find out if the Hispanic population that eats chili peppers is in a little bit better shape when it comes to getting sick than maybe other populations. The next one, I did not even see this one coming. But this is my go-to every single day. I probably have 2 cups of dandelion root tea. I like it. Now, I know that nobody else likes it, but I do. Maybe that makes me a weirdo, but dandelion root, 14,000 units This is 3.5 ounces. I realize a tea bag is not 3.5 ounces. But isn't that interesting, that dandelion root? You may have heard me say in the on a radio broadcast of the past that when I was reading about the 11th U.S. Cavalry and the 7th Cavalry and the Badlands of New Mexico and the Arizona Territory, guess who they chased all over the desert? Oh, yes, the Apache Indian chief, Geronimo. And I remember reading that little tidbit of information when those guys were on the run and they were being chased by Santa Ana's army and by the U.S. Cavalry, that they would stop only long enough to fill their sacks with dandelion roots and dandelion leaves because it gave them strength. When they were exhausted, they would go with dandelion. You might want to pay attention to that. Carrots are a good source of vitamin A. Apricots are a good source. Collard greens, kale, sweet potatoes, parsley, spinach, mustard greens, mangoes. I'm not even going to get to the research when it comes to what happens to the skin when you give it the very thing it needs, which is called vitamin A. Dried apricots, oh, they have a whole bunch more than regular apricots. But then again, I like dried apricots. I know it has sugar in it, but I love dried mango. That's like eating candy. Some people might purchase bags of Skittles, bags of, sweet tarts. Oh, my goodness. Mangoes, that's where it is, baby. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm great.
Good. Did you happen to see something that I sent you yesterday?
Yes, and it was on top of 10 other requests by other people, too.
Well, then that's
fine. I'm very sorry. And you know what? Even yesterday, after I was done seeing all my patients, I just kept working. I kept working one text after the other and one email after the other and one phone call.
How about that?
And it was just a matter of I just can't get everything done that everybody wants me to do.
Oh, no, I was just asking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ultimately, that's what you want. You want me to be able to respond to it, and I'm working on that.
Okay. Do you understand? I've never heard of that before.
I didn't even look at it.
Okay.
I just saw where you sent me a text, but I never even got that far.
It's called HYPNAGOGIC, jerk.
Could you pronounce that? Because I didn't write that down. What is it?
Hypnagic. Jerk.
Well, tell me what it is in the real world. What are the symptoms and what does it look like?
He has he'll have like jerking when he's sleeping.
Oh yeah, that's but here's
and then it'll happen. Now it's starting to happen in the daytime, and it'll yank his neck to the left and yank his jaw closed.
Now, I'm not trying to say that I know what the young man is eating, but I can tell you what we need to go toward. If we can convince him...
And this has gone on for a lot of years, so maybe, yeah, right, he might be eating something. Yeah.
Well, at the core of this, just like this morning, I was discussing the idea that when soil is very, very acidic, that's when you have all the problems with all the animals of the forest, or the pasture is what I should have said.
Right.
What we got to do is we got to find a way to change the electrical grid of his body. And one of the ways of changing that is by giving him minerals. And so if we were to start making him some Gatorade each morning, that's not really true. That's a trademark item.
I know
that.
Yeah. Right.
But if he were to take 2 liters of water, I'm just saying 2 liters because it sounds impressive to say liter versus quart. I'm only joking. But if he took 2 quarts of water and took about 3 to 4 heaping spoonfuls of Concord grape juice concentrate, and then maybe 1/2 to 1 teaspoon minimum of what's called Celtic salt with the juice of one lemon, then we can start infusing him with what are called electrolytes.
Okay.
And so most likely, if he were to exercise, it's almost a given. He's going to sweat profusely.
Right.
And if a drop of sweat comes across his brow into the corner of his mouth, he's going to tell me, "Hey, that's pretty salty. I must be losing my salt." And right. so he's probably on the edge of this right here. So if he can start rehydrating his body, that would be a very, very good call. The next thing that I want you to consider is we've got to give him a fair amount of protein to start his day if he's going to feel good the rest of the day.
Right.
And so I know that money is no object with him, so I'm going to recommend the filet mignon, T-bone steak, ribeye steak.
Lobster tail.
What'd you say?
Lobster tail.
You know what? That is, that could be a brilliant plan.
See, I mean, it works for me. Filet and lobster tail.
You know what? Maybe. If I needed a lobster, I would just take a piece of bacon, tie it to a string, and lower it into the ocean. I am almost positive I could trick him to grabbing onto it, and I could
there
pull him
go.
Up to the surface.
There you go.
Wait, where do I need to be to catch one of those?
Maine is usually the best, from what I've heard.
You mean Main Street or the state of Maine?
I mean like Maine, like the state over there on the, you know.
Okay, that kind of pushes me out of the equation for some lobster fishing today.
I don't know. Can we get it in the Gulf?
So, maybe, yeah, but not the same type of lobster. It's a different
Probably not.
Those lobsters are so strong. I've grabbed them before and tried to pull them out of their hole. It's impossible. They're too strong.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I had
pulling with all my might is 10 feet below on a reef. Anyway.
And you're strong.
Yes, I'm a professional bodybuilder. Can you tell?
Yes, you are. No. Oh, my goodness.
I tell you what, though. I saw a guy yesterday. That guy was built. And I said, what do you do? He said, I exercise every morning before I go to work. I said, it sure shows.
Well, and he used to do that until they closed all the gyms up there.
Well, I really mean this as a nice, gentle encourager.
Right.
He can do squats all day long and lunges, and he can do sit-ups and crunches, and he can do planks, and he can do a Turkish get-up, and he can do how many variations of push-ups are there? He can do all those things. He doesn't need. He doesn't have to have a gym.
Okay. What about like he's on the third floor, climbing stairs and all that? Supposed to be great.
You tell me, what would be harder to do, going up and down steps or being on a treadmill?
There you go.
People look at the stairwell and say, "There's no way I'm doing that. I abhor exercise. It's repulsive."
Yeah. Well, it's a three-story walk up.
But we're going to have to, if we want all this twitching and jerking to go away, we're going to have to remineralize him. There's no other way around that. Now, in my fantasy world, he would have a, if he can do this homemade Gatorade infusion, that'll be a move in the right direction. It really,
Perfect.
Really will.
Perfect.
And then if I can convince him, this is going to be a very difficult sales pitch, but I'm going to try. There's one particular fruit that's in season right now. It's usually very green with a thick rind or skin to it, and it weighs about 20 pounds. I forget what they're called. They have this red, watery fruit in it with black seeds.
Watery
and melony.
Yeah.
So if I can convince him to eat watermelon or cantaloupe every day, but with the watermelon especially, when he eats it all the way down through the red part of the flesh until he gets to the green part, now that's where it starts to go from sweet to maybe, I don't know, a little bit bitter, if you want to say it that way, but that's where all those minerals...
Tasty. Yeah, is that where all the minerals are?
That's where everything that he needs right now is found in that part of the watermelon.
Got it.
Okay. A lady told me the other day that she saves all the seeds from her watermelon. I said, what for? She said, my chickens go ape over watermelon seeds. I thought,
really?
Evidently, the chickens know that it's not just earthworms and June bugs that taste good. If you're going to build a superior egg. He's not a chicken. Never mind.
No.
So if he
not
could,
in any way, shape, or form.
But what you got to really seal home for him is... If he can give up grains and processed foods, and so I don't want this to be complicated. There's no reason.
Normally that's never a problem for him. He doesn't really like that stuff.
Okay. But he's going to have to start exercising his body. If he
start does, exercising
what
I, again.
Well, it, there's no way around it.
Yeah.
The largest organ in the body is the muscles, and if a person doesn't feel good, I can guarantee you we can make them feel good if they can just start exercising.
Got it. Perfect. And I don't have to write any of this down because I can just tell them to go
there,
on the station
there you go.
And click on you.
So what's the name of the largest city that he lives closest to?
That would be Chicago.
Is Chicago actually a large city?
Yeah, it's pretty big. You know, not much bigger than Tyler, but you know.
Not much bigger than Tyler. Gotcha. Uh-huh. You know, I hear rumors that a few people lose their lives from violence in Chicago every weekend. Is that true?
Yeah, I had pictures.
Oh no! I wish I hadn't said that then.
Yeah, I had pictures of the storefront and all. Right down the street.
And the other thing that he needs to do, and I realize in light of what we just discussed, the more that he spends time outside sitting on the dirt and walking on the grass, the quicker this is going to heal every single time.
Okay.
I don't know about anybody else, but when I'm out in a kayak and it's 50 foot deep of water, I almost feel like the only thing I can think about is becoming close to God.
Right.
Now, that may just be me, but I feel closest to God when I'm outside. I don't know. Is it easier to feel close to God when you're watching Fox News all day long or not? I don't know.
No. I wouldn't think so. Not for me.
Let me ask you a personal question.
Yes.
Have you ever seen a squirrel look at you in such a way that you thought that maybe it wanted to eat you? Okay, just curious.
I can't say that I have.
Because I really think I had a squirrel look at me the other day like he might want it. Anyway, so he
saw somebody that was healthy. That's what it was.
If your friend, this young man that you love and care about deeply, if he can just go outside and go for walks, and if there's a park close by, if he could take his shoes off, lay on the grass...
Uh-huh.
We could start recharging his battery. And basically, that's what he is, and that's what I am, and that's what you are. You are a solar charged battery. So we got to give you water, and we got to give you minerals.
Got it.
Now, I don't know if you've heard the latest studies, but people that are very, very skinny, they have the highest death rate from the coronavirus. And my point is...
Really?
They've got nothing in reserve. And so if a person... I had a guy tell me a story.
I got a lot of reserve.
Well, that means if you were to come down with the coronavirus, most likely you would have... If you lost even 30 pounds over the course of a month, your body is better off eating the reserves of nutrients in the muscles instead of allowing
really?
The coronavirus to... Yes, absolutely.
Wow, awesome.
I mean, would you believe me if I told you the latest studies show that for women and for men... The number one predictor on how long you're going to live and be able to function and prevent illness and sickness and knee replacements is going to be how strong you are.
Right.
And you've got to have some weight in your muscles to have strength. So without strength, I mean, do you ever go to the store and see people that are so feeble they can barely shuffle along without losing their balance?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's they've lost their strength.
Right.
There's only one path through this, and they have to become stronger.
Yeah.
That is a tough sales pitch. I've been trying for 31 years.
Yeah.
It is so hard to convince a person to start exercising because they just can't do it.
Well, his big stress reliever and everything was the gym, so I just need to turn him around.
Well, he's got the gym. He's got the stairwell, and he's got his body.
Yeah.
That's all he needs.
And that's what I'm going to have to, you know, reemphasize and have him listen to what we're talking about now. And he'll do it because he loves exercise. He's gained a lot of weight back, and he's not happy about that. So this will give him a way to start.
Well, you know, and there's really literally two ways we could look at this because can I just choose a number? Let's just say for the last 60 years living in America, we have been preached that fat is the key to all this. But
right.
I can tell you right now, that's proven to be just totally false.
Uh-huh.
I mean, obviously there's good fat and bad fat. I'm not talking about eating the bad fat that's bad for you. But maybe the newest idea that we need to start thinking about is it's not because fat's the problem. It's because I'm under-muscled. That's really the key.
There you go. And so you're not telling me that I can stay fat and I'll be okay.
Exactly what I'm saying. And so, you know, there was a study that I read recently. And in this study, they said, what would happen if we could convince people to have the perfect diet? I mean, and as far as I can tell, the diets were perfect. There was no fudging, no cheating at all.
Right.
And they said, what if we could convince this other person just to exercise every day, you know, like strength training, and
right.
we would let them fudge on their diet? Well, I can tell you right now, the ones that did strength training that weren't perfect with their diet, they came out on top. And so if you have cancer, if you have diabetes, if you have heart disease, that means you are under-muscled. If you have chronic infections, if you're weak, if you have arthritis, you're under-muscled.
Got it.
So you
got to
get it through your head that you got to make your body stronger. Make it obey you.
Okay. That sounds like a good plan.
Okay. Good deal, man.
Hey, thank you so much. Sure,
you're welcome.
Appreciate you and everything that you do for all of us.
Well, you're sure welcome. Thanks for your phone call. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
I think I could determine by the sound of his the background noise that he was somewhere along the coast of Maine, getting close to where he was going to go fishing for lobster off the jetties. That's just what I think. I'm really good at these things. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. God bless you. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you doing?
I am blessed. The family doing well?
Great.
Wonderful. Listen, I was just listening to you this morning. Very interesting. Very, very interesting about vitamin A. I'm very intrigued about that. But I have a few questions, and I want you to finish that. Matter of fact, go ahead and finish that, and then I'll ask my question.
Okay. Drink dandelion tea. I'm done.
That's it?
Well, no, that's not it, but but we could just go off on a rabbit trail on that. Since I've got you, you might want to ask your question.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, on that one, with the tea, how much tea should we drink?
As much as you want to.
Okay.
I sometimes have 3 or 4 cups a day just for fun.
Okay, and the vitamin A?
Well, it's like anything else. If I can convince you to eat foods that are high in vitamin A, then it's not going to be a problem. So if you like to eat carrots, if you like to eat sweet potatoes, that's got vitamin A. Kale's got vitamin A. Have you ever heard of a person overdosing on calf liver? I never have.
No.
Have you heard of a person overdosing on dandelion tea? That hadn't happened with me.
No.
How about dried apricots? I hadn't heard that one either.
I like, so far, everything you've named on that, I enjoy.
Well, and, you know, the thing of it is, I'm being a little bit ridiculous here, but everything I'm telling you, you don't have to read a list of long ingredients on packages. All you do is you grab the mango and you peel it and eat it. That's it. Bam. You got your nutrition.
Well, I have to be careful with that because of sugar.
Well, and the point that I told the gentleman earlier, I really was saying it for everyone, your main issue is you're under-muscled. That's your number one problem.
Okay, yes. Yes.
If you became stronger, that would solve the diabetes equation.
Wow.
So it's really a matter, if you can wrap your mind around that and then ask yourself, what am I going to do to turn this around? And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. It's nothing more than brutal, hard, disciplined work. Actually, that might be the secret to everything.
Could be.
Could be, yes.
Yes, because, you know, you think about your grandparents and great-grandparents and so forth. They didn't go through the stuff we go through. They worked hard all the time. A lot of them worked in the fields or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't go through the things that we go through today.
You know, and for all I know, your parents picked cotton just like my parents picked cotton.
They did it all.
I don't remember my mom and dad ever saying they greatly enjoyed picking cotton.
No, I don't think any of them enjoyed it, but, you know, that was just the way it was.
You know, I can tell, though, when people are raised on a farm and they do that hard manual labor, I'm telling you, that's a gift, because as they grow up, they know how to work. It was a gift that they got to work.
And I think it was a blessing to their body in their later years as well.
Well, I was telling a woman this week that if she lets her child, the 8-year-old, drink coffee every day, then all she's going to have is a child with a broken down body later on in life. I know I was blunt with her, but I'm sorry.
But that's true.
But the studies are showing now that if you give a child with rapidly developing bones coffee, they have the weakest, most brittle bones later in life. Now, it's a little bit different when you have hard manual labor your whole life and you start drinking coffee as an adult. Maybe that's when the bones are already thicker and stronger. If a person has a fall after fall after fall, but they don't break a bone, I'm guessing they had some hard labor when they were kids.
That's probably true, too.
Yeah.
Let me get my other question in hand for you. You was talking about when the gentleman called about those night jerks and friend that have that. And you was talking about 2 liters of water and 3 to 4 spoonfuls of grape. Was it grape juice?
Concentrate.
Okay.
That's really just for convenience. You just go to the freezer, pull it out, and it stays fresh that way.
That sounds good. And lemons. Is that one lemon?
Oh, my goodness, yes. If I had to choose one fruit that could change the health of all the world, it'd be a lemon.
Okay, so I have 2 liters of water, 3 to 4 full teaspoons.
Tablespoons.
Okay. Thank you for correction. Got it.
Self and so the juice, if you put, but you're trying to make it a mineral-rich liquid.
Right. Okay, so, and the juice of what's one lemon?
That would be a home run.
Okay, and how much lemon, Celtic salt? Half teaspoon?
About half a teaspoon would be just fine. Maybe even if a person was going to work out and sweat, a teaspoon would be just fine.
Sounds good to me. I'm telling you,
there's not one human being that has low sodium that has any energy. It ain't going to happen. You'll lose all your strength. You'll go, oh, my goodness, I can't even lift this gallon of water. It's too heavy. That's because you're low in sodium. You got to have sodium if you're going to have strength. That's one of the primary electrolytes. Okay. When you take sodium out of a person's diet, they become as weak as a newborn kitten. Not that a newborn kitten is weak, but you know what I mean.
Yes. Now, this Gatorade, do I drink that once a day, 3 times a day? How often do I need to drink that?
Well, I think if you start out with 2 quarts of water and you just did it once a day, that'd be like a good start.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Well, I certainly do appreciate
you. All right. Thank you for your phone call.
And thousands of others. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know what? I don't know if you know about the kittens, but... when the claws come out, they could rip you to shreds without even trying. They've got razor blades. All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's probably time for one more phone call, 903-586-5257. If you're going to have health, it's going to be up to you deciding that you want it. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I was wondering about the keto diet. And especially because I'm diabetic, wanting to know about the keto diet. And my husband also has myasthenia gravis, the musk. Would like to just hear what you have to say about those.
Now, that one is a really tough one. I'm not going to lie to you. That's probably one of the hardest autoimmune diseases of all time. He's got to have He has got to have the strongest mindset of all time that he is going to force his body, even though there's no comfort or pleasure in doing it, he's got to force his body to serve him. Does he exercise every day?
Yeah, he is now. He couldn't even get out of a chair before. He was in a wheelchair and really bad, but they're giving him a new treatment for it.
Well, I have a new treatment for him.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, but it's just a drug treatment to suppress the immune system.
Yes. Uh-huh.
My treatment is going to Academy a day and buying a deer rifle and start eating deer.
Deer?
Well, it's called wild game.
Oh, well.
That would be the fastest way to get him out of this, if he would eat deer or elk or axis or moose. buffalo, wild prairie chicken. I just made that last one up, but it sounds delicious. But if I could convince him just to eat wild game and vegetables, he'll come out of this.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But on the flip side of the coin, if I give him chicken that's loaded with antibiotics and chemicals and a bag of Doritos for lunch, probably not going to see much improvement at all. Anyway, the keto diet. I know I'm an oversimplifier, but I think if you have diabetes, that means you're under muscled.
Mm-hmm.
Your muscles are the most metabolically active users of glucose, and so if your blood sugar is building up, that just means one thing: you do not have enough muscle. Now, I know I'm being ridiculous by what I'm fixing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to the grocery store and you see somebody at the self-checkout at the largest store in Jacksonville or Tyler, mm-hmm. and they're getting bags of Doritos and honey buns and Snicker bars and Coca-Cola and Red Bull, and you go, this is wrong. They are so muscular and so athletic-looking. How can they get away with it? Well, that's the answer. They've got mm-hmm. so much muscle that a little bit of extra carbohydrate doesn't do anything to phase them. I didn't say that was good. I'm just mm-hmm. saying they have enough muscle to where they can burn through the carbs, and it doesn't affect them. And mm-hmm. so I'm really pleading with you that you have got to set your mind to get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not going to be popular because that requires effort and work, and people go, are you kidding me? That's what, I'll do drugs then. But if you set your mind that you're going to build your muscles, that's your one ticket out of this.
Okay. Well, I've started lifting weights, little hand weights, and I walk every day.
You know what? That's brilliant. Here's what I would do if I were you. Mm-hmm. Lift those hand weights 5 to 10 minutes every hour of the day.
Wow, okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How hard do you think that would be?
It'd make me tired and sore.
But you know what? Have you heard the phrase, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Do you believe that God designed the body to adapt to stress?
Yes.
There you go. What if you said today is Saturday, I'm just going to do shoulder presses. So you take and you do 10 shoulder presses every hour of the day. You won't get mm-hmm. tired. But guess what will mm-hmm. happen? You'll start conditioning your muscles of your shoulders and your tendons, and the chances of you having an injury are probably nil. Now, if you say I'm going to do 200 repetitions till I can't even move, you're probably going to rip a tendon in half. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Or you could just choose today, you could just do squats. Every hour you do 5 squats. You'll be mm-hmm. amazed what happens. If it's your husband, he could try doing 2 push-ups every hour of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, the day's gone by and he's done 50 push-ups. Well, maybe mm-hmm. not during his sleep. I didn't think that through. But just prayerfully consider that if you had just a meat and vegetable diet, that's the greatest plan, and it may be that you have to do 2 meals a day, so if you skip breakfast, your body will eat you instead of you eating breakfast, and that's what you want.
Okay.
But if you build any muscle, that's where your blood sugar goes down every single time.
Okay.
You sound disappointed.
No.
Okay.
Pretty much knew that, and then talked about going to a gym or something too.
Well, you've got those dumbbells right in the house. You can just use those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you could do curls, you could do presses, you could do shoulder exercises, you could do lunges, mm-hmm. you could do squats.
Well,
and
good.
Those are all hard to do, but you know what? You're the one that wins.
Yeah.
And if you win, this is your ticket to going and spreading the gospel and cooking a meal for a shut-in older person. Because mm-hmm. I can tell by listening to your voice, you're very, very young. Am I correct on that?
I'm 72.
Well, like I said, you're very, very young. And the next 20 years, we're going to make sure that they're young, strong years. Well, thank you for your phone call.
Yeah, well, thank you.
All righty, bye-bye.